Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Time now for Laird and Fitzy. Ken Laird and Nick Fitzy Stevens right here on EEI.
It is Laird and Fitzy with you until 5 o'clock. Brian Barrett at that time, and then into BC football, 7:30, the pregame here on Sports Radio WEEI. Time to bring on one of our new favorite guests. He is Ross Tucker, former Patriots O-lineman. He's got his own podcast. He's also a radio.com insider. Insider calls brought to you by Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Learn more at Indeed.com/credit. He's also got a betting podcast, Bet Sweats, live every weekday, 10 a.m. to noon on radio.com. Just search radio.com/Bet Sweats, and he's posting pictures of the last 24 hours of ice cream out the wazoo and some kind of chicken. That is amazing chicken, Ross. What is that?
That's actually where I'm going to be in about an hour and a half. That's my brother-in-law. He's got, I don't even know what you call it. It's like his best friend has this like barbecue chicken business. All I know is last time I was over there, it's all outside and socially distanced, and as you can see, it's like out in a field. But last time I think I had four chickens, mm-hmm. four whole chickens. It is so good. I'll have to find out what they call it. I don't know if that's called a roaster or a broaster. It's something, man. I don't know. I'm so fired up. I just got done working out. And then while I was on hold coming back from break, I filled up my cup half ice, half Pedialyte, half water to hydrate for what's about to go down in a couple hours.
I can always get behind a man who orders an Elwood special, four fried chickens and a Coke. Or in your case, four grilled chickens and a Pedialyte special. I think actually, Ross, they call this, I think this is like an Argentinian thing, asada, where they use this big flat brick sort of thing. I see this grill. It's absolutely just how I like my Saturday chickens, especially on a big football Saturday, cooked. Just absolutely filthy. And I think if people go, it's either at Ken Laird WEI, at Ross Tucker NFL, or I've got it at Fitzy GFY, you'll see this, and all you're going to think is, damn it, I miss tailgates. I need to go to a I'm ready to go.
I know, right? I even tweeted this, at Ross Tucker NFL. Like, I do a college game almost every Saturday for CBS Sports Network, so this is very rare. I'm just doing Eagles pregame tomorrow. So for me to actually be home in Pennsylvania and be able to, you know, be outside, eat some great food, have a couple of adult beverages, it's pretty nice. By the way, do you guys agree with me? My tweet from last night that mint chocolate chip ice cream is the most polarizing flavor of ice cream. If you go through and read the replies or the quote tweets, nobody's in the middle on mint chocolate chip. They either love it or they say it tastes like frozen toothpaste. It's unbelievable.
It is my wife's favorite. She insists I always have it in the freezer. I like it. It's not in my top three. But I know people that would just as soon like to challenge me to pistols at a dusky dawn than they would ever slurp down a thing of mint chocolate chip ice cream, Ross.
The only one that I can think that is butter pecan is pretty polarizing too, actually. People like love butter pecan, or they don't like it at all. And if we're talking polarizing.
Right. Well, we got a game tomorrow here, Ross, we would like your feedback on. Patriots and Broncos, we think it's going to happen. At least it's trending that way, despite a couple of COVIDs on either side. But is this going to be a game? Michael Lombardi was on our station yesterday and thinks 10 is too many to give. Broncos missing a lot of players, though. Melvin Gordon out. Noah Fant didn't make the trip. How do you see tomorrow going, Pats and Broncos?
Yeah, I mean, that new news about Gordon definitely not playing and Noah Fant, I think that makes it pretty tough.
Yeah.
I mean, Fant is, I believe, their best receiving weapon, at least, you know, with Cortland Sutton out for the year. Now, the running back thing's interesting because, you know, we haven't really seen full-blown Philip Lindsay this year. And I thought it was curious that they gave Gordon as much money as they did. I think Lindsay can really play, so he might help. This would be – I talk about this, you know, all week on Bet Sweats on the Radio.com app. This is a stay away for me. It's too many points, and there's too much unknown about how Cam's going to play, having not played in a while, and how Drew Locke's going to play, having not played. Well, I mean, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if Drew Locke comes out and plays great. Wouldn't be surprised if he comes out and plays terrible. I really don't know what to expect at all with a young kid like that having that much of a layoff. So in terms of a betting angle, I'm afraid I don't really have one for you guys other than, yeah, I just would, if it's a stay away for me, I'm not betting either side, but I'm certainly not laying that many points.
Ross, surprised, though, that you would stay away considering that we just saw a team a couple nights ago on the shockingly entertaining Tuesday Night Football. Sidebar, I want Tuesday Night Football in my life every week the rest of the season and maybe forever. But the Tuesday Night Football, the Titans came out and they looked like a well... Now, Buffalo obviously was a little janky, but they had only been off for 9 days. The Titans hadn't played since basically the summer. And they rolled out an absolute wagon on Tuesday night. They looked fantastic.
Right. So does that mean that Cam and Drew Locke are both awesome? Does it? You know, that's what I'm saying. I mean, Drew Locke's been off longer than Cam has.
Yeah.
So I didn't like the Bills Titans game. I stayed away from it. I'm glad I did. I probably would have laid the points with the Bills. I mean, that, you know, I think as everyone gets into this trying to handicap games a little bit more, you look for situations where there's not a lot of unknown. There's not a lot of variance. And there's just so much in that game. I don't see Denver winning the game. But could Denver keep it close? Yeah, maybe. I mean, last time Cam played against the Raiders, I didn't think he really played that well. You know? So, I mean, if he's played like he did the first couple weeks, then they'll probably roll the Broncos. But if he plays like he did against the Raiders, and I know they won handily, but I still didn't think Cam played that well. That was mainly the running game.
What's your current pecking order in the AFC, Ross, and where do the Patriots fit in there?
I don't have my – I do power rankings on Tuesdays on the Ross Tucker podcast. I don't have it in front of me, but off the top of my head, I believe it's Baltimore and then Kansas City and then – no, you know what? Baltimore, Pittsburgh,
wow.
Kansas City, Buffalo, New England. And I think all of them have a chance because Kansas City and Baltimore have both shown some vulnerabilities. I mean, we saw what the Chiefs did to the Ravens, obviously, on that one Monday night game. But, you know, out of five games for the Chiefs this year, guys, the Chargers game, they barely won in overtime. The game against the Patriots that, you know, Patriots, if Hoyer doesn't make some of those mistakes, I think the Patriots would have been right there. And then obviously the loss to the Raiders. I mean, the Chiefs have been very vulnerable in three of their five games so far. I mean, that's more than half the games where they've shown that they're far from being, you know, like a prohibitive favorite is what I would say.
But no Titans in your top five, huh? Not to go two questions deep on the Titans this early when I've got so many Patriots questions.
No, you're probably right. I said off the top of my head, I'm sitting here drinking Pedialyte. you know what? I think I have the Titans ahead of the Patriots. So now, okay, on WEI Radio, big station in Boston. Mm. Now, number one, I've come across as forgetful. And then number two, I've alienated myself with the audience by, when you reminded me of the Titans, bumping the Patriots out. So real good minute, last 30 seconds to a minute for me in Boston.
All right. Well, I'll have you work your way back into our good graces, Ross. Tell me which way you would go if you were Belichick and you bought into this team and maybe you bumped him down to sixth or seventh best in the conference. But, you know, I've watched a lot of football in my life, and I'm a believer, and I like the energetic way they've been playing. Could be 4-0, but they are what they are. You're the GM of the Patriots. What would you go after? Would you go after defense, wide receiver, tight end, and if so, who?
Ooh. You know, there aren't typically that many trades at the trade deadline in the NFL. You know, I think off the top of my head, I think the Patriots can get by with what they have on defense. They can manufacture pass rush. They've got a good secondary. It's probably receiver again, or maybe even tight end. But it's definitely giving Cam, I think, another option. Edelman does not seem like the same guy to me, and I love Edelman. I mean, I just love the way he's played for however many years now. Harry doesn't seem to get a whole lot of separation. It's probably receiver, which probably marks, what, the seventh consecutive year? If you asked me this question, I would have said receiver.
Right. Right. They took Sanu last year for a second, which was somewhat controversial.
Yeah, that didn't work out, so they probably that might be a reason to stay away.
Well, sticking there for a second, you follow the Eagles so closely. Names that have come up here are Alshon Jeffrey and Zach Ertz. Do you see either of those guys getting moved?
Ooh. Yeah, I think that they could probably both be had. I really do. Now, I don't have any inside information there, but Ertz wants a new contract. They have another tight end in Dallas Goedert who's young and really talented, sort of waiting in the wings. So I think for the right offer, Ertz could be had. And he's got a year and a half left on his deal. And then Alshon Jeffrey, I mean, the Eagles would probably give you a draft pick to take his contract off their hands, to be honest with you.
Well, what's up with Ertz? Because I saw he had like 35 targets and 20 catches. Is it his fault or is it something else going on?
You know, I've seen some stats that indicate that he's getting the same amount of separation and that it's primarily Wentz just not being able to hit him, but he just doesn't look like he's playing as well to me. And for what's really weird about it is it doesn't seem like Ertz and Carson Wentz are on the same page. And you'd think if Wentz was on the same page with any Eagles receiver, it would be Ertz, you know, given their history together.
Okay, so Le'Veon Bell has a number of suitors after he gets out from underneath the umbrella of kryptonite that is Adam Gase and the Jets. God bless the NFL. You can actually get paid to go play someplace better. Now he chooses Denver over Miami, Buffalo, New England. I got my mind on the game tomorrow. He chooses Kansas City over all the other suitors. How much more dangerous do you think this makes? Does this lock the Chiefs up as basically the team to beat once again in the AFC? I mean, like, if he can return to form, it seems like he would be very dangerous with Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes.
Well, I mean, if he can return to form, but that seems like a big if. I mean, you know, it's been a couple years since he's done that. And I feel like Clyde Edwards-Helaire, their first-round pick at LSU, the running back's been fine. I think they just wanted a little bit better pass-protecting running back, and I think they didn't want Clyde Edwards-Helaire to have to handle the whole, you know, the whole load. And Le'Veon Bell's better in short yardage goal line situations, but I still think that's a 50-50 split. I think it makes him a little bit better, not a lot better.
Hey, before I let you go, Ross, we had a lot of offseason looking ahead here with the bye week if Cam leaves. And quarterback names that have come up, it could be a bizarre, you know, market. Could be a lot of guys available. But Jimmy Garoppolo's name, of course, comes back up if the Niners would cut ties with him. And even like Matt Ryan, if you put the financials aside, has come up. Could you see Matt Ryan coming back to New England or Jimmy G next year, assuming Cam would go for somewhere else?
I don't see that with Matt Ryan. I don't think Matt Ryan is going to, you know, I don't know about either guy, but certainly Matt Ryan, I don't think Matt Ryan is going to take that, the kind of money that the Patriots want him to take to go up there and play. Garoppolo might, to get back with Josh McDaniels. You know, if anything, I can see maybe Matt Ryan goes to San Francisco and Jimmy G goes to New England. You know, because Kyle Shanahan might try to get two or three years left out of Matt Ryan from when they were in Atlanta together.
Right.
Oh, I could see. I could
and
see
there's
that
some
too.
Talk of McDaniels being a guy that Atlanta covets to be their head coach, which so you could have a whole rotation going on there.
Yeah. It's like musical chairs.
Yeah. By the way, did you see Trevor Lawrence's numbers? He got pulled after the first half today against Georgia Tech, 22 for 27, 391 and 5 touchdowns. But pretty good. Wouldn't it just be a shame, though, Ross, if he ends up having to go to the Jets?
Yeah, it would be. I mean, you know, there are certain franchises where it just seems like that's where careers and quarterbacks go to die. And, you know, I wouldn't put that on anyone. I mean, look, if Trevor Lawrence was on the Jets right now, they'd still stink. So I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I think he's better than Sam Darnold, but I don't know that he's going to fix. They got way more problems than just the quarterback position there.
Well, Ross, enjoy the chicken. We appreciate it. On a day off, give it us some football talk.
I will. You know what? When I have my actual plate, mm-hmm. I will post that on social media because people want to see.
Beautiful.
And I usually have two or three chickens, and I say to my daughter, do you want another one? And she says no. And I'd be like, oh, my daughter needs another one. Got to get one more for her.
Oh, do you have?
Works every time.
Oh, that works every time. When my kids say no to that extra slice of pizza at the birthday party, I'm like, ah, he needs one more. Of course he does. Come on. What's one extra chicken on a tailgate Saturday, Ross?
All right. See you, dudes.
See you, buddy.
That is Ross Tucker from Radio.com Sports Insider. Insider calls brought to you by Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Learn more at Indeed.com/credit. Interesting power rankings. So if he's got Baltimore.
He still has Baltimore 1.
Baltimore 1, Pittsburgh 2, Chiefs 3 and vulnerable, Bills and Titans. It sounds like he's got them 4 and 5 in some order, despite the results this week.
And it should be tight. In that case, I don't know. I think the Titans, because think about it. You know, and he was willing to move them right back up in there. And I bet if he takes a look at it, and if they have a good game and win at home this week, I know they've played some adequate competition and had a couple of close games. That was a statement win for them, as much as it was just an off night for the Bills. The Titans can do, the problem with them is that they can do everything well. Now, Kansas City, when their offense is humming, it's a nightmare to defend. But their defense isn't that good. They have a great kicker. Gostkowski's finally turned it on, so looks like the Titans have a pretty good kicker. Oh, geez, how come we can't get one of those guys? Thanks, Bob Lobel. With the Titans, though, they have an incredible... Just somebody I would never want to tackle. Poor Josh Norman. R.I.P. Josh Norman after Tuesday night. Poor man. And then, Tannehill looks awesome. He's got his numbers are almost numerically commensurate to Mahomes from the middle of last season to date. He's been playing out of his mind. And it's a good defense. And they've got youth, speed, and power on the line, in the linebacking core, and the secondary.
And obviously good coach, and they're motivated because they feel like they've been, like, written off by the league. And
Foyer says he's the next great coach in the NFL. Like, that when Belichick retires, the best coach in the NFL will be Vrabel.
That'd be a tough call. If Bob Kraft had a chance to go after Vrabel post-Belichick, and he still had McDaniels hanging around, who would you choose, Vrabel or McDaniels? I mean, based on, obviously, their head coaching track record, it's not close.
It's not even close.
But the fact that McDaniels has been here, and you've been grooming him, and Belichick opened his world to him, quote unquote, and you did the Do Your Josh documentary.
Do Your Josh 3.
I mean,
I really wonder, will Arthur Blank, will the Falcons dip their toes back in Patriot waters? Because Dimitroff, who had been working in the front office with the Patriots, could McDaniels be a target for him? That seems to me, my pick is that I see Eric Bieniemy going to Houston because he goes there. And they say, we need you, get Deshaun Watson right and make this offense hum again. And I could see Josh getting targeted by Atlanta. Maybe they allow him to draft a quarterback, groom him under 1 or 2 years of Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan can still play football, and there's talent to work with down there. Dan Quinn just, man, talk about just making it to the doorstep and then falling down.
Changing of legacy. It is amazing.
Oh,
and real quick
brutal.
On the Ravens is Ross Tucker's number one team. 4 blowout wins, but against really bad. Well, they beat the Browns. They beat 38-6 over the Browns week one. But Houston, Washington, Cincinnati. Their only loss was to Kansas City, of course.
Yep. Kansas City, that game wasn't close from box to wire.
No, it wasn't. All right, let's get to what is trending right now on WEEI.
Drive home with OMF, weekday afternoons 2 to 6. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
Couple college football scores to update you on. South Carolina on top of Auburn with under 2 minutes to go, 30-22. Auburn football, though, looks like they're driving behind me here. They are driving. But about midfield, needing 8 to tie this game up. That's a good one. Notre Dame underway, 6-0 lead early on Louisville. A couple finals. The final in the Clemson game, did you catch that final number?
Final score.
73-7.
73-7. Did Clemson cover?
I'm not sure.
I don't know.
I actually don't know what the spread on that game was. I can't imagine it was 67 or whatever that would have been. But the big game tonight, of course, it's Alabama and Georgia. And then you got BC football, which we'll have for you. 7:30 pregame, 8 o'clock kick in Blacksburg at Virginia Tech, minus 13. I was watching some of College Game Day today. No respect from the producer that they let talk, Bear, who yep. I like, because yep. I like when producers get to talk. Bridget can relate. Doesn't talk enough on the show. If you've tuned in just yet. But he does not like BC. He's all over Virginia Tech. Give the points. BC's overrated. People look at their schedule and think, come on, they played well. They beat nobody, blah, blah, blah. That whole thing. We'll see tonight.
We'll see.
Prove it game. You also got baseball tonight. I think two pretty good games, including a game 7 and a possible second comeback from down 3-0 ever, and it would be the cheating Astros, the Houston Astros, who I've declared I'm rooting for tonight.
First pitch for game 6 of Bravos versus Dodgems, 4:37. It's just an hour away, Ken. You better get that beer in the fridge, crack it for first pitch, baby.
Now, are you pulling for the Dodgers and Mookie?
Absolutely.
Mookie had the turning point play yesterday, catch in right field, which led to a double play, changed the game around, the down 2-0. But then you get David Price like tweeting.
I don't follow. I don't like, follow. I don't listen.
You opted out, and
you could have played. How many? Aside from the two major incidents between St. Louis and the Miami Marlins, baseball was relatively COVID free for the majority of the season. They did a great job, and they weren't even bubbled up. And yes, I tell you this though, Mookie, Tom Brady moves on. Ken, don't really have the same feelings watching Mookie last night.
Regret.
I missed him.
Yeah, you missed him.
I missed him. He's fired up. He looks like he's having fun. And I missed him.
Different with every franchise. Ravens had a COVID positive today. Brandon Williams on the list, defensive tackle, but he may be a close contact and not a COVID positive actuality. So still some murkiness there, but we think the Ravens game is on. And Patriots game is on, most importantly. 1 o'clock kick tomorrow. NFL Sunday gets you ready starting at 9 a.m. with Keefe Foyer and our man Jermaine Wiggy Wiggins, and they'll lead you into the game. And, of course, we know that Stephon Gilmore, Cam Newton are going to play. Broncos hurting, though. They're without Melvin Gordon. Also, Noah Fant didn't make the trip, and also K.J. Hamler out. So they're without some big-time weapons. That's what's trending on WEI.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
More of what you want to hear. Laird and Fitzy on EEI.
I would call this a winning weekend of football for you. Pretty good options starting tonight with Alabama, Georgia. Of course, the BC game will have you pregame at 7:30. Big NFL slate tomorrow. Most importantly, though, let's get to this text message from Chris Curtis.
Oh.
Who said he is losing his mind at something you just said. Okay?
Okay. Well, first of all, what is there left to lose? But go ahead.
By the way, got to give you credit. The troll job you did in the crossover Friday with Vampire Curtis was unbelievable. The Curtis coming out of his
wait,
coffin.
Ken, you have a text from Chris Curtis. Go Boston College Eagles. Yes.
I really enjoyed that.
Greg, anyway, here is my lead.
Curtis texts me, losing my mind.
Go
Fitzy is rooting for Mookie and not for Brady.
Yep.
Dumbest thing I have ever heard.
Oh, stop it, Curtis.
There are texts here, by the way, because this was a reference to our Brady segment before we had Ross Tucker on.
Mm-hmm.
That you're not rooting. Well, are you rooting against Brady?
No.
You're not rooting for him. You're apathetic.
There is I am shockingly apathetic towards Tom Brady's successes and failures in Tampa Bay. Am I outwardly rooting for Aaron Rodgers tomorrow? No. Do I want to see 70 points scored and an epic all-time some of the greatest quarterbacks to ever play the game showdown? Hell yes.
781 text, longtime Pats Brady fan. I root for Brady over the Pats. 20 great years. Fitzy is an idiot.
Well, Fitzy's an idiot, that's fine. But, like, I don't root for anyone over the Patriots.
603 text, we the fans still love Brady, are not happy you idiots keep disparaging him.
I'm not disparaging him. By just saying that I'm not as engaged with him is not disparagement. Thank you very much.
727 text, Fitzy is the biggest loser in caps ever for turning on Brady.
I did not turn on Tom Brady once again, just because I don't want to pay money for his vitamins, and I thought it was lame that he didn't shake Nick Foles' hand. Doesn't mean that I haven't gone to town hall and told them to change my kid's name and paid the $300 registration fee, you bozos.
You had some support. 978. Weird that I agree with Fitzy. I'm not as invested in Tampa now as I thought I still would be. 401 text. This is kind of how the Bulls fans probably felt watching Jordan with the Wizards. Apathetic is the word for it. So,
All right, I'm checking my timeline right now. At Giselle, this Fitzy guy is 100% correct.
I mean, I can't believe Giselle would be agreeing with you about anything, especially this take. Now, why Mookie? Why is Mookie different?
I don't know.
Why are you rooting for Mookie?
You know what it was? I think I saw him sure. It was only his second hit, I think, in the NLCS, too. It was a big hit last night.
No, but the answer is you hate the Red Sox. Before you go further, you hate the Red Sox. Therefore, you root for them to be miserable.
I actually had not felt anything about Mookie moving on. I thought it was going to happen. I didn't think Mookie was going to re-sign. I was disappointed. He should have been a cornerstone, a franchise player, go down as one of the 10 greatest players in Boston Red Sox history. I was mildly apathetic to that as well, and this was pre-COVID. But last night, seeing him running the bases, awesome fielding, that cannon for an arm, and he was so fired up. And this was such a bummer of a year. This was such a last 15 minutes of Marley and Me of a baseball season for the Red Sox. It was just like, oh, and now we watch the dog die. Slowly. Yeah. I mean, it was awful. And then, like,
so bad,
that's what we... no one watched. The ratings were terrible, and understandably so. It was a killer for everyone. It was epically
stunningly
bad.
Stunningly epically bad. Not so bad toward the end. Some uplifting things.
Tanner Houck, yes. Okay. Yes, great. 17 strikeouts and 21 innings.
Keep my job. Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. Yes. Wonderful. Unbelievable. I love that home run for... what's that guy? The first baseman guy.
Yeah, that guy.
You know what? You know who I'm talking about, Ken. Bobby Dahlbeck, excuse me. Bobby Dahlbeck is a cornerstone.
First baseman of the future.
There's some stuff to build on. And obviously, you know, Chaim Bloom has his work cut out for him. One interesting sidebar. But anyway, the long and short of it as to why watching Mookie last night provoked a response was it seemed like maybe he was more fired up or happier than I think I had maybe ever seen him before.
Well, he's a positive person, too.
He's
that's
a highly positive person.
You look at Brady chewing his teammates out, and that's...
Right.
You know,
when he's doing it and the team that I have loved my whole life benefits from it, I forgive it. When he goes and does it somewhere else, it's like, Tom, are we sure we want to keep doing it? Come
on. Mookie is like Mr. Pure Joy, like playing the game. He is inspiration.
That's what it is, Ken. I've missed that joy. I missed the joy that Mookie brought, you know, like the Mookie famous 13 pitch at bat, Eck calling the grand slam. It's time to party. I miss that. There was no joy, and there's been no joy in Boston baseball the last couple of years. Instead, it's been dismissing the best manager we've had since Francona, losing one of the best players in history, and kind of being an also-ran. One positive to this ALCS, though, I mentioned it yesterday on Dale and Keefe. They were sort of iffy on it. I'm just curious if you and the audience think that maybe one of the positives to the Rays making it to the ALCS, if not maybe the World Series, is that, hey, look what Chaim Bloom was able to do with a third of the Red Sox budget. Now they're giving him a chance to rebuild the Red Sox in his mold. Maybe this guy's the right guy for the job after all.
I guess, but his old franchise is blowing a three-game to none lead.
Let's
wait until the series is over before we
all right.
start pumping that narrative. But in terms of Mookie, you laid it out, though. The Red Sox season was abysmal. The Patriots have replaced Brady with Cam Newton, and that's credit to Belichick. That's why the legacy, which we talked about so much, I don't think Belichick's legacy was on the line in hindsight. It was secure, but he has certainly twisted it to a new level in terms of, you know, the system here and what Brady meant to it. That's for sure. Bobby in Woonsocket on the phone lines, hanging on for a while. Thanks, Bobby. What's going on?
How you doing?
How you doing?
What's up, Bobby?
Good. I'm doing good. Fitzy.
Yes. Hey.
I'm a huge Tom Brady fan, just like you.
Yep.
So, I kind of dislike the fact that Tom Brady is acting like Dan Marino.
We'll forgive. Hold on. Give us a second. I would have said the same thing.
S word. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, yep. All right.
I don't really like the fact that he's screaming at his players. I love Tom Brady. I'm a homer, like you wouldn't believe. But I can't stand the fact that he yells at his players the way he does.
Yeah.
So
And is it different to you, Bobby, than it was here? It's different now than it was when he was here.
Yes, absolutely.
It feels that way to
I
me, too.
I almost don't like him.
Whoa.
I'll tell you, Bobby, you know, you just heard the text line berating me. Thanks for the call. I've read a number of people just saying, like, on the same thing, on different forums, Twitter, wherever else, just like, oh, I love Tom Brady. I'll miss him, but at the same time, like, I don't like this. This just seems like still play too, and he can obviously his arm strength is great. Some of these passes he's thrown have been surgical this season,
but he's chewed guys out to a fierce level before over his 20 years here. Right, this is not like
how many different he yelled at in 2017. He and Josh got in an epic fight in Buffalo.
Yeah.
2011, he and Billy O'Brien exchanging words in Washington. Last season, when they were getting clobbered by the Texans on Sunday Night Football.
Did anybody ever say a negative word about Brady after those things?
No.
I don't even think it never came up.
But his
it was always like, oh, he's look at the compete in that guy.
Hyper-competitive. That's the whole thing. All the stories I ever heard whenever I would do your favorite little segment, the Chalk Talk, the live talk show at the stadium for the fans. The former players that I would have a chance to talk to, running backs, receivers, safeties, et cetera, all said, like, don't bother asking who the biggest trash talker, who the biggest mouth, who the most competitive guy in the Patriots was. It was Brady. The answer was it was always Brady.
But I wonder if the league is passing by that era. You know, like we've gone through the Me Too movement. We've gone through a lot of movements. The question was, is he relating to young guys the way Cam is? And now he goes to a new franchise. He's a new guy there. He doesn't even know these players, and he's coming in. And he's laying into them. Like, does that just not fly anymore?
I don't think some
NFL?
Of them are for it. Like, why would Mike Evans, right, who was a Pro Bowl player before Brady got there, why would he want to get dressed down and chewed out on the sidelines? Like, guy, I'm making the most of my talent right now. I'm a little injury prone, but I'm kind of carrying your ass at times the same way that you're helping me out. So, and the Bruce Arians thing, I think that still has to frustrate the hell out of Brady. Like, all those years that he was with Belichick, I don't care how much the Johnny effing Foxborough thing, went over with them and sat in the Brady household. As much as Belichick, it wasn't brain surgery or whatever, like, no one died. But Belichick never came out. The one thing he always said was, I've said a million times, there's no quarterback I'd ever want to have than Tom Brady. But he never came out and said, like, yeah, bad read or like crap throw.
Well,
in
that's
public.
Brady's fault. That's been Bruce Arians for 20 years. Arians has a big ego, and he lays into anybody and everybody.
Bigly.
He should have known that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for the most part, he's friends with the quarterbacks he's coached, so that's a little bit weird.
Oh, Roethlisberger loves him. Carson Palmer, they're all chummy. It's year two where these quarterbacks, by the way, really hit their stride with Brady. So you throw a lot of touchdowns, but you throw a lot of picks your first year with Arians.
Oh, I see what you mean. So
Jameis,
next year,
Carson
will be
Palmer,
better than this
Roethlisberger.
Year.
Yes, that the numbers show that. This is just these are facts only.
Coming up, we have the three-man weave set to hit you with Brian Barrett, going to join us in studio. We'll keep the Pats and Broncos talk going. Some of the discussion today has been around trade targets. Michael Lombardi weighed in on that on OMF yesterday. This is a clip Fitzy wanted you to hear. I think it is interesting. It's because Ross Tucker said, typically, he joined us earlier this hour, he doesn't think there are many trades this time of year. I think that is changing. This could be a year where there are a ton. There's a lot of movement. We'll talk about that coming up.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We're right back to it. This is Laird and Fitzy on EEI.
They got to get somebody. You know, Kyle Rudolph up in Minnesota has been named and banding around. I think this is going to be a fascinating, fascinating trade deadline because there's so many teams that have no cap room going into next year. Let's just take a team like the Falcons, who are, according to overthecap.com, I just wrote this on the for The Athletic. They're like $25 million over the cap next year, and that's if the cap stays the same. I mean, they're literally going to have a liquidation sale in Atlanta at some point if they're smart. I mean, the season's over with, right? I mean, what are we hanging on to some of these? We're going to have to get rid of these players in March of next year. Why don't we trade them for some assets? I think a lot of teams are going through that. Evan Engram of the Giants, you know, he's up for the on their cap next year for $6 million. The Giants right now are $20 million under the cap going into next year with the players that they have. Why wouldn't they try to get something for some of their good? They don't have a lot of good players, but there are guys out there, and I think there's a lot of teams sniffing around. I think it's going to be a really active trade market.
Pretty good points from Michael Lombardi on OMF. Sorry,
Mike Lombardi.
On OMF, who's pretty tied in with the Patriots, obviously. We've seen from time to time him nail a few things. He didn't get Pat specific there too much at the beginning, you know, suggesting they need somebody that can control the middle of the field. That'd be your guy, Zach Ertz, I guess.
Yes, indeed. Although Kyle Rudolph doesn't control the middle of the field as much. He kind of, for a tight end, he blocks a lot and kind of works the outside. Good red zone target.
But he's hinting more at, you know, selling off parts like Atlanta. That's back to Julio Jones. If it's going to be an active trade market because, one, the salary cap's coming down next year, $25 million, and teams need to mortgage, you know, sell off parts now, and just in general... two, the Trevor Lawrence sweepstakes teams want to stink, so might as well go all out to stink. Maybe it will be an active trade deadline, but could you see Julio Jones actually coming to New England? That would be a blockbuster.
Stop.
That would be unbelievable.
He would go off immediately.
I agree.
Would see vintage Julio. Double teams, and you know who else would benefit from it? Every other person who in your program is listed as a WR. Even the tight ends. Watch the tight ends pop. Although, I have a feeling Devin Asiasi, who hasn't been targeted yet this season, I think you see a pass thrown his way tomorrow. I'd put if the prop is 0.5 receptions for Devin Asiasi tomorrow, under or over, I take the over on that one. Now, that said, Julio, why wouldn't you? If you're going to bring in a new coach who doesn't want to have a receiver on the other side of 30, making, you know, double-digit money every year for a couple of years to come, who you feel like may be past his prime, but who certainly would have more value and worth on a team that's in contention as opposed to the winless Falcons right now, it would make all the sense in the world, which is what makes me wonder why in the world Rich McKay, who pulled the trigger on Dimitroff and Quinn finally for Arthur Blank, why would he come out and say the Raheem Morris right now is just the interim coach. However, he does not want to move any players at the deadline because he feels as though he should let the new general manager and the new coach decide who plays for the Falcons next year.
But back to Julio, can you really see his cap hit the next 3 years is $23 million, $19 million, $19
million.
Base salary next year, $15 million, $5 million to sign.
I want to talk to him about a couple of those things.
To sign, signing bonus. I mean, he probably would want a new deal too, right? I mean, he'd have he has 3 years left on the contract, but well, anytime you'd have there's to, a trade,
I'd approach him about it.
I guess you'd want to you'd probably push that money off, whatever.
Now, I teased out earlier that I said in order to be able to make one of these splash deals, you may have to move some things around now yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Even though he's immensely integral to the team because he's been playing out of his mind for a couple of years, and now his value will be on display again tomorrow when he likely has to snap the ball to Cam Newton. But Joe Tooney getting close to $15 million this year, and next year, you know, you'd have to franchise him again. They haven't worked out a long-term deal.
Yeah.
Ken, could you maybe see
the
Patriots in the middle of the year like this to be able to bring on a large salary, say to themselves, hey, look at the gameplay we've gotten out of Heron and Onwenu and Jalte Froholt.
Nice job.
I mean, like, hey, yeah, thank you very much. Also got engaged last night. Congratulations.
Oh, wow.
The future Mrs. Froholt. Yeah,
jeez.
Huge, right? They've gotten such good play out of these guys, maybe.
But they can't trade Tooney right now with Ference going down and Artie Andrews still on IR. They'd have to wait maybe in a couple weeks. Andrews is back and everything's good.
If those two guys come back 10 days from now, we'll see.
Different scenario. But how about this prediction from my spot track guy, Michael Jannetty? The Pats are going to be poaching players left and right this offseason with a surplus of cap space in a down year. They have all that cap space.
They do.
Maybe they save it until the offseason. If this is a quote-unquote foundational year, Jake from Boston said that's what foundational year is. Build the roster first, then get the elite quarterback to come later. Maybe he's right about that.
Okay.
Even if you have Belichick, maybe you need to fine-tune everything else before you go crazy with a Cam contract. I don't know.
So if they're going to poach players in the offseason, maybe make a big splash on both sides of the ball, what's the one small, like, classic Belichick move that we make here? Maybe it is something as insignificant as, like, seemingly
insignificant. Trade players for draft picks.
Well, maybe it's like a Dede Westbrook who you get for, you know, who you'd be able to buy for donuts on the dollar.
But something's going on with him. The fact that he's this bad, that worries you, doesn't it?
Nah. He was really
good.
He's
not old. He's 26 and he's not even playing. He's, like, benched. Is Jacksonville that
dumb? Maybe he's just out. Maybe that's just one of those guys. Trade him, give him another shot someplace else, and there you go.
Worth a shot, I guess. Wayne in South Boston, your buddy.
Oh, hello, Wayne. Wayno.
What's up? What's going on, Fitzpatrick?
How you doing there, Wayne the Maine?
What's up, buddy? What's up, lad?
How are you?
Good. We're talking about Patriots here, right?
I mean, if I'm awake, I'm talking Pats, buddy.
And that's me, too. I hear you, brother. Hey, I say this is going to be 35-17 game.
Ooh.
Okay.
Against the Broncos. I think Cam's going to come out and let his arm go loose because he hasn't been out there in a week or two. You know what I mean? I think he's just going to rip the hell out of the ball. I think Edelman's going to have a comeback game because he deserves one after that little stunt he had there last week with Kansas City.
Mm, yeah, boy.
I think he has a big game. Yeah, I think he has about 10 catches. You know what I mean? I think he's going to come on, man. It's the Broncos, they have nobody left. What are they playing? What are they using, like, reserve guys now?
Yep.
Yeah, they're pretty banged up, but they can still defend the run. So seeing Cam slinging a little bit tomorrow, could be more effective, and B, I think actually the fans and the team would actually just love to see that he's healthy coming off those 2 weeks, the 2 weeks on the COVID list, Wayno.
Well, I told you about, remember when I told you, dear, I said when they played Kansas City, I told you they were going to go. Remember I said I have a good feeling that Belichick's going to blitz him, because that's one thing about Mahomes. When you go up, like just like Brady, when you go up in the middle of him, he has a hard time, you know what I mean? Unless he, you know, that's why when you do send people straight up the front to get him, you got to make sure you got guys on the corners making sure they protect, as you know. You know, Mahomes is going to go left to right, you know what I mean? And that's what they did most of that game, you know what I mean? Until, the worst mistake Belichick ever made was starting Brian Hoyer and not starting Stidham, still to this day. Because we could have won that game. The Oakland Raiders beat them. Oakland Raiders beat them.
I know. They did.
Vegas Raiders, too.
The Vegas Raiders hung a 40 spot on them in KC last Sunday, Wayne.
I know. I watched the game. I was loving it, man. I was loving it because I keep saying, I'm telling you, baby. I go, the KC's going to go 6 Super Bowls. Like, yeah, come on, please. He's lucky he wins 1 Super Bowl.
Now, Wayne, who wins Chiefs-Bills on Monday?
Chiefs-Bills. Oh, that's going to be a good game. I don't know. Bills look like they took a good hit by Tennessee. They look like they you know, they came back down to earth, let's just say. You know what I mean? They're not that they thought they were going to, you know, run away with this division, and they could be tied with the Patriots within about 2 weeks.
Right.
If
yeah.
everything goes the way we want it to be.
Well, Wayne, just remember, you got both teams looking for redemption after poor showings last week. Thanks for the call, my man. But also, the enemy of my enemy is my ally. But who's your greater ally in this one, Ken? It's got to be KC.
That's too in-depth for me. We do have Brian Barrett joining us next. The final hour of Laird and Fitzy. Good Bruins news we'll pass along to you as well as the top of the hour hits you here on Sports Radio WEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.